Sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Welcome to Southside. If you're our guest this morning, you're not here by accident. You're here because God brought you here. We say that every week because we believe it to be true that when God sends us people, He's not doing it by accident, that He's brought people here because they have something on their heart and something that God wants to tell them. And so I hope you'll have your heart open to what God has to tell you this morning. If you are one of our guests, take one of the cards in the rack in front of you and fill it out so that we can know you are here this morning. We appreciate you doing that. We'd love to stay in contact with you. And a little bit later, we'll have a collection. You can drop the card in the collection plate. Also, you might have a prayer request that you want the church to be praying about. Easy way to let us know about that is just write it down in the back of one of the cards, drop it in the collection plate, and we will be in prayer for that this week. And speaking of being in prayer, we want to keep the Ecuador team in prayer. They're supposed to get back today, but they were delayed a little bit this morning. I think Joe will mention some more about that during the Shepherd's Blessing. But let's remember to keep them in prayer. And during our opening prayer, maybe we can remember to pray for them as they are traveling back. Well, a couple of things. We're in the middle of a series from 2 Corinthians. In fact, we started it last Sunday. And we're entitling it Wounded Hearts is the title of our series. And we have take-home devotional booklets to go with this series. And if you were unable to get one last Sunday, we have them. They're up at the front. They're also in the back. Please take one home with you and use that in your personal study time or with your family or with your spouse or friend. And use this as a chance to kind of continue to study through 2 Corinthians. I think this letter of 2 Corinthians has a lot to offer for us as we try to be a community becoming like Christ in 2015. So I hope you'll do that. Also, I need to mention that for our 6 through 12-year-olds here with us, we have a special bulletin that goes with my sermon. It's in the back if you weren't able to get it at first. But you can get one of those bulletins and follow along the sermon. And then afterwards, you bring the bulletin back to me and you get a prize from the treasure box. Don't you wish you could get in the treasure box? No. But please do that if you want to. Also, I want to mention about tonight. Tonight, we continue our series on Sunday night, Stories of Transformation, with Joe Almanza, who is a minister at the Highland Church in Abilene. Joe's been here a couple of times. It's been about 4 or 5 years ago the last time he was here. But if you've heard Joe before, Joe is a powerful speaker. He's got a powerful story of transformation. You need to be back here tonight. By the way, folks, our Sunday night lessons have been really good. Those of you who've been here, don't you agree? Very good. In fact, last week, I told Dan, he spoke last week. I told him I think that was the best job that he has done when he spoke last week. So Joe will be just as good. And so be here tonight. Hear a powerful story from Joe Almanza on how God has changed him and is working through him. Well, we are here to worship and to praise the name of Jesus. Our focus this morning is the comfort of God and how God comforts us and encourages us during our time of need. And so let's worship the God of comfort. Let's stand at this time and let's quote our verse. And let's begin singing. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let's sing. God, as we just sang, we ask that You would take Your mighty arms and You would wrap them around this auditorium as tightly as possible. And all of the woundedness and the brokenness and the pain and the hurt that we have tucked down inside, that this morning we would feel the comfort that comes from You. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. There are many things that promise comfort. For example, comfort food. Comfort food is maybe not the most healthiest food in the world, but when you eat it, it just makes you feel good. I was reading an article recently that has a list of all of the comfort foods for each state in the United States. Does anyone want to guess what the comfort food is for the state of Texas?
barbecue brisket, according to this article. And guess what the Hope class is having for their Hope lunch in the day? Barbecue brisket. Don't you wish you were part of the Hope class? In the state of Oklahoma, they have their own state meal. Isn't that kind of cool? I mean, they got the state flower, they got the state flag, they got a state meal. And the state meal of Oklahoma is chicken fried steak. That's comfort food. It promises comfort. We have comfort suites. Need a place to stay tonight? Try Comfort Suites with its premium plush bedding, spacious suites, hot breakfast. You'll wake up in the morning feeling energized, rejuvenated, and refreshed for the day. Do I sound like a commercial? We have Comfort Fabric Softener. It'll take your bedding, it will take your sheets, it'll take your towels, and it'll make them feel as soft as a pillow. We even have Comfort Care Toilet Paper. I'm not going to say any more about that. But we have all these different items and products that promise us comfort, that make us feel good. And I'm thankful for these things, aren't you? But when you have a wounded heart, you need something more than chicken fried steak and some toilet paper. You need something that'll go down deep. I mentioned last week that in 2 Corinthians, as Paul writes 2 Corinthians, he's writing it with a wounded heart. Because he had visited the church in Corinth, and he had this painful visit, as he called it. Because while he visited the church, there were some people, either one person or a group of people, that started accusing Paul of false things. And he expected the church in Corinth, the brothers and sisters there, to back him up and to support him and to stand by him. And they didn't do it. They betrayed him. And they were swayed by the opponents. And so Paul left Corinth humiliated and embarrassed. His heart was wounded. But on top of that, we learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that there was something else going on in Paul's life, something that we didn't know about last week. Something happened in Asia, and we're not exactly sure what happened in Asia. Most scholars think maybe he's referring to the riot that happened in Ephesus that's referred to in Acts 19, but we're not exactly sure. But something happened in Asia that scared Paul to death. He literally says, "I thought I had a death sentence on my life. I thought I was going to die." And so with the woundedness from the Corinthian church and plus his near-death experience in Asia, Paul, as he writes this letter, is incredibly wounded. But on top of that, Paul understands that the church in Corinth, that they're wounded as well. Because after Paul had that painful visit, as I mentioned last week, he writes the third letter to the church, a letter that we don't have, but we know from Paul that it was a harsh letter, a letter where he chastised the church for betraying him. And he knows that as the church receives that letter, that they had to have been discouraged, frustrated, and confused. And so he knows that as he writes the letter of 2 Corinthians, what he needs and what the church needs in Corinth is they need comfort. True, deep, real, lasting comfort that goes down to the woundedness of their heart. In church, I know that there are some of us this morning that are in the same spot. I know we look good on the outside, but I know if our hearts could be revealed this morning, there would be many of us here who would reveal some woundedness in our heart. And it comes in many different ways. And we come here this morning seeking comfort. We need comfort because maybe death has stolen away a loved one. We need comfort because maybe disease is riddling our body or riddling the body of someone we love. We need comfort because divorce has broken our family apart. We need comfort maybe because the devil is getting his way in our life. We need comfort maybe because of discouragement, because of how brothers and sisters in Christ have treated us. Maybe we need comfort because of drama and how it's messing up the peace and harmony in relationships in our family or in our friends. Maybe we need comfort because we're just dry spiritually and we don't know the problem, but we're just not connecting with God. But I know there are many of us here who who we come here this morning for the same reason that Paul wrote that letter, because we desperately need comfort. And where do we find that? Where do we find that kind of comfort? There are some people that would say, well, the way you find that comfort is you just try to get away from it. Whatever the problem is, whatever the wound is, just get away from it. And a lot of times, the suggestion is, go indulge yourself, or go drink for yourself, or go use some drug, or just find a way to get away from those problems, and to get away from that woundedness, and get away from that brokenness. And if you do that, eventually you'll feel some comfort, as the saying goes. But we know that that's not really true. And still there are others that say, well, if you want comfort and you want relief from whatever wound or pain that you feel, then just move on. Move on. If friends hurting you in some way, move on to a different friend. School's not working out for your kids or your family, move on to a different school. If church isn't going well, move on to a different church. Preacher's not doing a good job, move on to a different preacher. Don't do that, please. But just move on. Move on to a different neighborhood, different job, different city. Different spouse, even. Move on. And you'll find comfort. Move to greener pastures, and all that hurt will be left behind. But we know deep down inside that's not really true. Paul gives us the answer to our question as he begins this letter. He tells us where true, deep, lasting comfort comes from. It doesn't come through drinking or through some kind of destructive habit. It doesn't come by just moving on. It comes from God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. There's two parts to that phrase that I think are very powerful. Number one, he says, God of comfort. God of comfort. There's a lot of different descriptions that we can give for God, isn't there? We can call God our Creator. We can call God our Redeemer. We can call God the powerful one, the holy one, the righteous one, the awesome one, the great one. But have you ever thought that another description that we need to give for God is the God of comfort? God's a God of comfort. The word for comfort that's used in 2 Corinthians 1 is the word paraklesis. Say it with me, please. Paraklesis. It's actually used 10 times. A form of that word is used 10 times in 5 verses, verses 3 through 7. And the word paraklesis can be translated as comfort. It can be translated as encouragement. It can be translated as consolation or even exhortation. And the basic idea is lifting someone's spirit, lifting them up. And the idea of the word comes from the idea of call. Calling someone close. It's kind of like when a little boy skins his knee or someone falls down and can't get up. What do? They call for help. They call for someone to come close and come near and help. That's paraklesis, calling someone to come close. And when Paul says that God, our Father, is the God of comfort, it means that he's the one who encourages us. He's the one who lifts our spirits. He's the one who wants to come to us in our time of need. The God of comfort. But secondly, he says, he's the God of all comfort. All comfort. He's the source of it. You can't find it any other place. You can't get it from any other source. He is the place where comfort comes from. He is the God of all comfort. But how do we receive this comfort? How do we receive this comfort from God? It's not that God gives us this magical feeling that he zaps us at some point and all of a sudden, oh, we feel comfort now. That's not how it works. It's not that there's some magic pill that just falls down from heaven and you just got to grab it and take it and then all of a sudden you'll feel encouraged. That's not the way comfort works. How do we receive the comfort that comes from God? Well, Paul begins to tell us. Most of the time, we receive the comfort of God from the people of God. Most of the time, we receive the comfort of God from the people of God. That's what Paul was experiencing. He was discouraged, discouraged because of that painful visit, discouraged because of what had happened in Asia, and he was needing encouragement. And so along comes Titus. And Titus had taken that harsh letter to the Corinthian church, and Paul was really anxious about that. And so Titus comes to meet Paul in Macedonia, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and then later on chapter 7 that Titus encouraged him. Titus lifted his spirit. Titus comforted him. And that comfort was from God. It was the comfort of God coming down to the people of God, to Paul. And so as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, God comforts us so that we in turn can comfort others with the very same comfort that we receive ourselves. You might call it the chain of comfort. This is the way the comfort of God works. Paul was comforted by Titus, which came from the Lord. And so now Paul was writing this letter to pass on that comfort to the church in Corinth. He had received comfort from God, and so now he was going to pass on that comfort to the church that needed it. That's the way the comfort of God spreads. It spreads through one person who is comforted and encouraged by someone else, then they pass that on to someone else, who then passes it on to someone else, who passes it on to someone else, and slowly the comfort of God spreads out through the whole church. And it can happen through a little thing. It can happen through someone praying for you and telling you, hey, I'm praying for you. That comforts us. It can happen through someone sending a note. Say, hey, I was thinking about you. Just wanted to send you an encouragement note. It can happen through someone texting scripture to someone and saying, just want you to know this verse today. It can happen through someone just giving you a hug when you really need a good hug. It can happen when someone is interested in you and just wants to sit down with you and talk for about 10 minutes. Tell me what's going on in your life. That's encouraging. That comforts us. Sometimes we're comforted by seeing God's work in people's lives. In our staff meeting on Monday mornings, we begin our meeting by asking a question. And the question is, where do we see God at work? And so we all go around the room, we all start sharing stories of where we've seen God at work, and we talk about this person or this thing or this idea or this situation where we can see God's at work doing good things. And we do that because that encourages us. It's very encouraging to know that God is alive and he's working. And that's what encouraged Paul. When Titus came back and Titus gave him a good report and said, the Corinthian church, they've responded to your letter. They're repentant. They want to change. That encouraged him. Why? God was at work. And it's through these little things that we receive the comfort of God through the people of God. And as we receive that comfort, we then pass it on to others who need it as well. I like the way the message describes this chain of comfort. Eugene Peterson says, God comes alongside of us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. That's the way the comfort of God spreads. That's the way we receive it, through this chain of comfort that's passed on one by one. One by one. But what is the result of receiving the comfort of God? What happens to us as we receive the comfort of God? Well, Paul tells us that too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, there are really two key theme words. Number one is the word comfort. As I mentioned, it's used 10 times in 5 verses. But the other key theme word is the word suffering. In fact, there are two words for suffering that in verses 3 through 11 are used 8 times. And it seems as if Paul is drawing a connection between comfort and suffering. As he says in verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. I think what Paul is saying here is that if you're really going to understand the comfort of God, you got to experience the sufferings on behalf of God. When we're talking about comfort, we're not talking about the idea of pursuing the idol of comfort. I've talked about that before, and we live in a culture that wants and pushes us to just want comfort in every part of our life and to remove ourselves from any kind of pain, any kind of hardship, and protect ourselves and just seek comfort and happiness. That's not what Paul is talking about. That's not the comfort of God. The comfort of God is directly related to suffering on behalf of God. And you're only going to suffer on behalf of God if you're taking a step of faith, if you're trying to live as a faithful disciple, if you're trying to risk for the mission of God, as we step out and try to be a faithful disciple for Jesus, at some point, you're going to experience some suffering. We don't want to experience suffering. We don't pursue suffering. But at some point, if you live in this world long enough, and if you're trying to be faithful as a servant of Jesus, you're going to experience some suffering. It may not be heavy physical persecution, but when you try to reach out to your neighbor and be kind to your neighbor and to love your neighbor as yourself, sometimes that's not going to go so well. And when you try to be faithful as a spouse, sometimes that's not going to be very easy. And when you try to spread a message for Jesus to someone who needs to hear it, that's not always going to work out great. And when you try to use your gifts to bless the church or to bless the world, sometimes things aren't going to go according to plan. When you try to be faithful as a disciple of Jesus, at some point, you're going to experience suffering. And Paul says, connected to that is the comfort of God. When we experience suffering, that's when the comfort of God comes. Just as the sufferings overflow, the comfort of God overflows. And when we receive the comfort of God, that causes us to do something. And he tells us what it is in 2 Corinthians 5, and I shut my Bible, and I shouldn't have shut my Bible. Let me go back to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 5. He says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. That's what the comfort of God produces. It produces within us the ability to endure whatever it is that we're going through. Now, I have to tell you, in America, we don't like to endure. One thing about living in the 21st century America is that we're very mobile. Most of us here have cars, which is a great blessing, right? I like having a car. It gives us freedom. It gives us independence. We can just go where we want to go when we want to go there. But one of the downsides of mobility is it doesn't help us be very patient. So, for example, when we go to the restaurant to eat, if you go to the restaurant and you walk up to the counter and they say, well, it's going to be about a 25-minute wait, what do we typically do? Get back in our car, drive down the road to another restaurant. We're not very patient. Or if we go to a store or a department store of some kind, we don't like the merchandise for sale, we don't like the cashier, we don't like something about that store, no problem. We just get back in the car, we drive down the street, we go to another store. That's just the ability that we have in being mobile. We don't have to focus so much on being patient because we have the freedom to go somewhere else if we want to. And that bleeds over to the other parts of our lives. And we can do that with schools, with jobs, with churches. We can do that with people and not be very patient and not endure very much. The mobility of our culture erodes our capacity for patience. And I'm convinced that if we're going to be a community becoming like Christ this year, that we're going to have to learn the ability, I'm going to have to learn the ability, we're all going to have to learn the ability to patiently endure. And when suffering comes, to receive the comfort of God so that we can endure it, so that we can keep going. And I think that's what Paul was trying to tell that church in 2 Corinthians. Is he was trying to tell them, hey guys, I know you're hurt. I know it's been hard. I know you're wounded. I know you're suffering right now because you don't understand what's been going on the past couple years. But hang in there because God is a God of comfort. And he loves you. And by the people of God, he wants to bring you that comfort. And so endure it. Endure it. Be patient. I think if Paul was here, he'd want to tell all of us the very same message. That whatever woundedness or brokenness or difficulty you're going through, grief, pain, disease, struggle in your spiritual life, whatever it is, don't give up. Because God is a God of comfort. And he will bring comfort through his people to you. And that'll help you endure. It'll help you to endure. We lost this past week Hubert Dutton. And Hubert Dutton was at one time one of our elders here at Southside. He attended Southside for many years. Many of you know Hubert. And one of my favorite stories about Hubert, I think I've even told this story before. A couple years ago, Hubert was giving care to his wife, Joyce. She was struggling with many different health issues, and he was just trying to be a faithful husband. Just trying to be a faithful husband, give care to her during her time of need. And I went to visit Hubert, and I could tell that it was just hard on Hubert. It was just kind of wearing him down. And at that time, Joyce was under a lot of pain. She had like headaches and a lot of pain, and there wasn't anything that Hubert could do about it. It was out of his hands. It was out of his control, and he was concerned about her and worried about her. And so I said, "Hubert, how are you making it?" And Hubert said, "Well, I get up in the morning, and I get out my Bible, and I get my notepad, and I write down every single blessing that I can think of that God has given me. And after I'm done, I just pray through those blessings. And when I'm done, that gives me the strength to make it through the day." Hubert was experiencing some suffering. And because of that, the comfort of God was coming into his life. And that comfort was helping him to endure as a faithful husband. That's the power of the comfort of God. It comes into our woundedness. It comes into our pain. It comes into our suffering through God's people, and it gives us the strength to endure. And if there's one gift that I could just give every one of us this morning, it would be to wrap my arms around you and to just allow you to feel the comfort of God, because that's what we need. In our woundedness, we need the comfort of God. And so here's what we're going to do. We're not going to have our regular invitation time, at least not like we normally do. Now, if you want to be baptized, if you want to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ, the invitation for baptism is always open. You can just come to the front when we sing our song, and we will receive you and welcome you into the family of God. But what we're going to do today is we're not going to have invitation. We're going to have comfort time. No, we're not going to bring out chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes and biscuits. We've got something better. We've got the comfort of God. And so I'm going to ask our ministers and elders to get in their spots where they normally get around our auditorium. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song of comfort and compassion. And if you need the comfort of God, if you just need the arms of God wrapped around you, then while we sing, just walk to one of these men, and hopefully there'll be a group of you that will walk to one of these men, and then they're just going to lead a prayer right there that God's comfort would come to you and to those there. And hopefully what will happen is around the auditorium, we'll just have little pockets of people asking the Lord for his comfort in their time of need. Can you do that? Will you do that? If there's any way we can help you to experience the comfort of God, let's have comfort time. Let's stand. Let's sing at this time.